I can't believe I got that close.
You're fine. I've done so much worse.
No, you haven't.
Sam, I used to black out and steal dogs. Like, I would wake up just with a dog and not remember how it got there.
I feel like that's kind of cute. I'm a felon.
Yeah, I could have been. They would have called me like the doggy bandit or something.
But they didn't.
They did not.
You got away with it.
I got away with it. I have so many dogs now.
Welcome. We have another interview from Single Drunk Female. We talked to Garrick Bernard. He plays James. So happy to be able to talk with Garrick about his character, about his podcast, and everything else he has going on. His Instagram is Garrick Bernard. If you want to follow him, check out what he's doing. If you listen to the interview, big fans of his podcast, Guilty Pleasures, and they cover movies. And so there's a lot of pop culture, which I would think if you like this show that you would like Guilty Pleasures. I got Corey and Jackie Rachel with me to interview Garrick. We actually probably have like a little post conversation, more stuff on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/youdontknowjackie. You can go check that out and support the show. They're $1, $2 tiers. We really appreciate it. And yeah, and check out all our stuff, any other podcasts we do on the You Don't Jackie View feed, and obviously, Yellow Jackets podcast, Squid Game podcast. Really appreciate all that. How did you guys like talking to Garrick?
Loved it.
Rachel, anything to say? He had a beautiful smile. What are you going to say?
He has great teeth.
Wait, we spoke to Garrick?
He's very funny, charismatic guy.
Oh, I just thought I was talking the entire time. I didn't know somebody was answering my questions. It's great. No, Garrick was awesome, and love to have him back on the podcast again to catch up on all the work he's doing and how much this show and everything else has led him to the next step in his journey. And I hope to be almost nearly as positive as he is. Because, you know, in other interviews, he said that, you know, it's taken basically 10 years to reach this point. And, you know, if I was struggling with that for 10 years, I don't know if I would have the drive that he has to continue going. So it's a true story of success and just putting yourself out there and continuing to grow step by step. So we really do appreciate having Garrick on.
Yeah. Hope you enjoy the epi.
Yeah, and here's our conversation with Garrick. All right. Hey, Garrick. Nice to see you. Really big, you know, we love Single Drunk Female, like your performance on it. Big turn. It was a big turn, though, later on.
I'm so sorry. Sorry to let you down.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about your experience, how you started on the show. I know, like, you know, you do a lot of other stuff, a lot of like writing and everything. Now you're getting into acting.
Yeah. So it's been a long road of just somebody, you know, finding me from stand-up a couple years ago. I want to say like around 2016, 2015. Kim Williams, and she reached out about doing some HBO Access shorts. I did those maybe like 2 years after we met, and then, you know, pushed forward another 4 years. She's at Disney now, and then she recommended me for this, and I got the part, which was very nice. Very nice little bump in the career in between those time. I started, you know, writing for shows. I worked at BuzzFeed for like 2 or 3 years. And then I went to Westbrook Studios, I guess it would be. Westbrook Studios, it's a Will Smith's production company. Worked for them for about like a couple months. And then I jumped from there to Star Trek Lower Decks to Solar Opposites, and from Solar Opposites to another thing that I'm working on now.
Yeah, very cool. So yeah, you're working on writing for something else now.
Yeah.
And then still open to acting.
So
I'd say I do know a lot of Guilty, because I definitely became a Garrick fan. I've been listening to your Guilty Pleasures podcast.
Oh, thank you.
So I already know you guys all worked at BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
You know, I just through the little pieces that you pick up from that. And I think that's a really fun show. And even like listeners to our podcast would like it because it's a lot of pop culture and all the movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, I could tell that you listened because you called me Rick. And I was like, that's the only thing. That only
well, he did. Corey. Corey
did. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, only Zach and Kelsey call me that. My dad does also. And I think I said it once while working at BuzzFeed. And then it was off to the races there. So I can also always tell who knows me from what time in my life, which is fun.
What's the difference between acting and writing? Is it a different whole process of thought, or is once you do one thing, it's everything's the same, or what's the difference?
Yeah, I don't think the skills transfer over that much in my experience to where when you're honestly, you kind of have to turn your writer's brain off because you definitely don't want to step on the writer's words whenever you're acting things. There are certain times when I felt like I've had like riffs that I wanted to put in and then they would let me do my little riffs or whatever I was thinking of at the time. Then they would say, could you do it as scripted? And then we would do it that way. And then they would just put that in because they probably work better with the structure of the episode and all that stuff. I'm really close-minded when I'm thinking about the entire episode because I'm truly just focusing on my scenes, unfortunately. But you know, as that's just an experience in me. But as you know, as I grow as an actor, I feel like I'll start getting better at finding the funny in, you know, mundane lines just through line readings and all of that. So I've just been working on that as of late. So
we've all, I think at some point, have listened to your podcast, Guilty Pleasures, which is, I guess, episode 52 came out this week, talking about the Batman. How has...
Spoil it. Don't. I'm still waiting to see the Batman, okay? So I'm
not... But, you know, I see like the Robert Pattinson is our emo king.
Yeah.
You know, you did Tokyo Drift, which I agree with you, might be the best of
it's the best one. It's the best one of my work.
How did this whole entire process of the podcast happen? Was it a result of the pandemic and just you guys needing something? Because I saw like the earlier episodes, which you can find on YouTube, so three of you separated each, you know, because of the pandemic in the last couple of weeks, at least, yeah. All together. How did that come about?
So Zach pretty much just asked us if we wanted to do like a movie podcast because I would text Zach or hit him up even when we were at work or anything like that, just talking about movies in general. And I remember we got into it about, or not like butting heads or anything like that, but just in our Slack, like the overall Slack channel at work, talking about how Fast and Furious is the greatest franchise of all time. And we're still going, we're still kicking on the Fast and Furious train. And the ninth one just came out, right? Yeah, the ninth one.
It's on HBO Max now. I'm gonna check it out, I think, sometime this week.
It's great. Yeah, so this was we were talking about how it was the greatest franchise of all time when only like six or seven had been out. And we're just like, oh yeah, this is fantastic. And then that, I guess that friendship grew from there. So yeah, so when he thought of the idea of having a podcast that was just us talking about and trying to find like the good size of movies that nobody like really applauds as much. He reached out to me and Kelsey, and then we just started doing that during the pandemic over Zoom. The first couple we were inside and very separated. And then once the vaccine came out and all that stuff, we started to go into the Try Guys offices and film more in their podcast studio.
I do want to get to Single Drunk Female. I was going to save some of my questions about the podcast for later, but I really do enjoy it. The first one I went and listened to was Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls. I'm a huge especially When Nature Calls. So as soon especially as you called calls. It out that like F that first movie, I was like, yes,
yeah,
yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
The second one is so much better, so much funnier. Although Jim Carrey is very embarrassed about it or embarrassed of it, I think that that is one of his greatest comedic performances that he's put out. And it really did make me as a comedian. You know, like I was after watching that, I was like, oh, you could be silly and get a lot of laughs and get a lot of attention and love from naysayers or what have you, just by like doing, you know, making them laugh for a little bit. So, yeah, I think that it really did make me as a child. I think it was one of the first VHSs that came with like the combo DVD VHS little TV that my sister got, and we just watched it constantly.
I feel like I know too much. I'm like, oh, you had a room with your sister watching Spice World. I know about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we were talking then about the Ace Ventura and just like, yeah, Jim Carrey's career. It's interesting too, because he just kind of retired.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Right.
No, I don't think he's,
you know, yeah. I mean, in quotes or whatever it is, but he had that great run even in 94, I guess the first movie came out, and
there's The Mask,
Dumb and Dumber, and The Mask. Yeah. In all in 94 for him. It's like huge, but I was talking with our other like producer, and he also comes on the podcast about, I connected so much. I love that movie as a kid. I get like where there's problematic things. And you had brought up this scene when he's masturbating and you didn't realize he was masturbating. Our producer, he said he had gone and seen that movie with his dad. And his 35-year-old dad turned to him and said, I don't get it. What's he doing? And he said, how does his dad not know? He's like, how did my dad not know what he was doing?
I think the dad did know. And he was just trying to say, like, don't do this. I don't know what this is. I'm not going to give you any ideas.
Okay, maybe. Yeah.
That's my guess. I don't know about this man's relationship with his father, but...
We have to have Brandon's dad on the podcast now. That's what we've learned. I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch a second.
Wait, until we get your parents, we're not having anybody else's.
Well, I guess no parents will be joining the podcast then.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll get into Single Drunk Female. I just want to say, I don't know if you feel the same way about the other thing with it, the Ace Ventura, is the way I feel about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Secret of the Ooze. I feel like that was like, to me, so much better, and like I just watched that over so many more times. Okay. So if you guys ever do that, I'm available.
Yeah, we'll definitely reach out. I haven't seen that one, but I did watch Three Ninjas a lot.
Like Tum Tum, like, and whatever.
Yeah. Felt like the same vibe.
Yeah. So some things I don't know. We're interested. I think we saw that flashback episode where we see James's family. Mm-hmm. And the dynamic with his family. Is there any like insight you could get? Or I know like even someone like Corey thought he really wanted to see more of that. Like if there's a season two, what you think, like maybe we could see more of like maybe what his dynamic with his family is now, and especially after.
Yeah. Well, Corey thinks that James could have like a whole spinoff.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a backdoor pilot. I mean, I was maybe hoping and, you know, being a big fan of, over the last couple of months of your work, but I thought that episode, and especially getting to see from the show Marin, guy who played your dad, with the chemistry that you and your brother, all those things, and, you know, sometimes you see shows and you go, all right, I can see this character doing something as a side. And I was like, we've got a whole new universe we can do Single Drunk Female with the James family backstory the year before. And then we found out now.
Female driven show. He wants to turn it and take
turn it.
Turn
it to a man.
Oh, James.
I'm mansplaining, apparently. Yes, I'm gonna spread my leg, take over the podcast. No, but like I said, that episode I thought was, if not the best episode of the season, top two, and it was your performance and everyone else. But what was your thoughts on, you know, the backstory and everything else?
Oh, I thought the backstory was really nice. Like, I mean, Jenny Connor wrote that episode, and I love her writing style and how like human she makes everybody. And you know, in true to life and all of that, and finding the comedy and just like, you know, moments and breaths rather than like, oh, this is, here's the, like the hardest hitting joke that you've ever heard or something like that. So with all of that, it's just, I don't know. It was just really nice, especially on during that day. My buddy Yasser Lester played Lucas, James's brother. So he comes on set being the funniest person. And so like just coming off of his chemistry, it was just really nice to have like that dynamic throughout. I would love to see more of their family. I would love to see their family now, like you said, and him like really like what happened with them. Did he kind of space himself or like back a little bit about his family? Like maybe his family is a little bit triggering. And you know, maybe he needs to realize that the closer he gets to his family, the more he actually talks about his actual problems, the less of a threat he has. But I feel like Simone, the creator, had a lot to say about like the moment at the dinner table where, you know, they're having the intervention, and she said she felt like she's had that conversation before. So trying to get it as accurate and as true to her experience as possible was really important that day.
Did you have any like personal experience with addiction or alcoholism, like friends or family that could inspire you during the show?
I've had like two or three friends go through where we had to like question them, like, hey, are you okay? And like having to sit down and like really talk to them, and not in an intervention way, but whenever they, you know, broke and said like, I don't think that, you know, my life is going in the direction that I would like, and I feel like I'm kind of like pushing that down with alcohol. I've never had like a full-on intervention with somebody, but I've definitely had those talks like late night at a diner where it's just like, I don't know what's going on, man. I don't feel great about this.
Earlier we had a couple of weeks back the amazing Madison Shepherd on, and said how, you know, you and her friends beforehand, what was it? And she, you know, said with COVID, she was, you know, procedures were really different than other things you might work on. What was it like working in on a show during COVID?
So I don't have a reference point. This is the first show I've ever done, really. First like bigger production I've ever done. Everything else has been kind of like shorts or like, you know, BuzzFeed videos where it's just, you know, you and a camera and like two other people. With all of that, the bubble nature of it all was very interesting. Wearing a mask all of the time, wearing the shield all of the time, it was very weird. The rigid structure and nature of it all was interesting to deal with. But I mean, I'm honestly just happy that we came out with a good product, you know.
Yeah. I have seen you know, some of the other stuff, like, you know, try to look you up that you worked on. I don't know how much like opposite sex roommates. I don't know like all what you were involved with that, but it's funny now I'm thinking, oh wait, like you were roommates with your sister. That's interesting, but this is like a little bit different, not like the same. But yeah, there were some things in there really funny. Like, I don't even know if you, you know, was that like you just acted in it or you were writing on that or?
So me and my buddy, Kate Peterman, she writes on Abbott Elementary now, which is
very proud of that.
Yeah, so we would write those together. Like we got hired at BuzzFeed at the same time as we were like sitting there trying to figure out what we could do with our time, honestly, because that's like how they kind of work. It's just like, oh, what kind of videos can you put out? And we were trying to figure out something for the both of us. We wrote a script, shot it. We got our director, Allie. She directed it and really set the precedent for how silly and goofy it could have been.
Yeah, I thought it was, they're really funny because then it takes it a little bit far, like even with the spork and like, should we get this like pack or sporks? Or, I mean, I really laughed at, well, sometimes I talk to you when you're sleeping, like the love of your life is here.
It's just so silly. It's just trying to, because Kate is definitely somebody that I have one of the more fun times bouncing ideas off of. And she's very, very collaborative, very much like, oh yeah, let's do that. That sounds great. Or you know, here's another thing that's equally as silly, or the silliest thing you've ever heard of. Like them being locked outside was purely just us being silly one day, and then just shooting whatever came out of our mouths.
You like co-wrote the short film Foxes, and that too, like in a way with Single Drunk Female, the way how they're covering a really like heavy subject material, but then you still have like there's like a joke right at the end that is great, like it gets you to laugh at the end of that and you're like, oh wow. But it also, I know, like as we were watching the show, Rachel, I kind of like stupidly was like, oh, I mean, James doesn't seem like someone, I can't believe he had a problem. And, you know, she's like, yeah, well, that's the point too. You can't realize that it's just, it could be anybody, right? That's dealing what anybody's dealing with.
Yeah. And those are, I feel like the dangerous people are the ones that hide it from everybody. I remember a friend telling me about his brother or cousin that was dealing with an issue, and they just kept on finding airplane bottles of alcohol everywhere. But he seemed like a very functional guy. But that is like one of the telltale signs of alcoholism, is that it's just like, this person seems normal, but I just keep on finding these bottles everywhere. They keep on hiding alcohol. So yeah, if you're a functioning alcoholic, there are definitely times that you'll either slip up or things will get too much for you, and you just lean on alcohol way more than other people do. So yeah, it just turns into like a terrifying game of like, is this person okay? They seem okay. I think I should talk to them, but I feel like I don't want to offend them by talking to them because they seem so put together. So I'll just kind of ignore it. And then, you know, you never know what somebody's going through or struggling with.
When you got the role of James, did you know the whole entire arc of this season? Or like, how much did you kind of know walking in, and how much did you find out as you went along?
So I knew what happened at the end. Everybody's watched it, right? Like, yeah, I know. I knew. I talked to Sophia like our first week, and she told me that he relapses at the end, and I was like, "Oh, okay, all right, interesting." So now that I knew where it was headed towards, I felt like I should probably play this guy a little bit more stoic than I would have, you know, and more like, it kind of like lightly condescending than anything else. Cause I remember for my audition, I was way more, I was brighter, I think. I thought, anyway, I'm not sure. If we watch it back and it's completely the same, then I'm sorry. But it's not. So knowing that, I was like, oh, he is way more, he's exuding a more like faux confidence that will,
you can definitely tell,
come back to bite him, where he's just like, I don't really talk about it, I can give advice to somebody and for somebody, but there are little slips, like the whole I don't think I can say no to you anymore line is, you know, kind of like a double entendre there. Because if it's just like, oh God, everything is going well, I don't think I can say no to her or alcohol anymore. So you can later then find that out. But yeah.
What do you think you would have done if you were in Sam's position, like in the finale?
In the finale, I would have left as well. Because he's being manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
He's totally being manipulative. And it's really weird and shocking to tell somebody you love them during your lowest point, no matter how much you mean it. She wouldn't believe that you meant it, you know? And if you really did mean it, you would be able to, and if you were in your right mind, you'd be able to tell that difference of saying like, oh, she's probably not gonna take this the way that I mean it. My intent is clear in my head, but in the situation, it very much is not coming off how I want it to be received. So with that, yeah, I would definitely say I would leave. I would leave.
Do you play video games?
Yes, I'm a man in his 20s, so by law I have to.
You?
Of course. You don't really strike me as much of a gamer. I'm sorry.
I mean, thank you, but I literally realized I was trans when I was 8 and Pokemon asked me if I was a boy or a girl, so I might be a bit of a gamer. Do you want to know my dorkiest secret to staying sober?
Please.
Treat every day like a quest in a video game. Check off my goals, give myself points, and if I end the day without giving in to the temptations of the evil wizard Drinko, I get a reward.
Gotta work on Drinko, but I get it. It's kind of like what I do, but fun.
I started doing it when I was first transitioning so I could get through the day without everything feeling so heavy. When I got sober, the skills transferred over.
Sort of sobriety. Right, yeah, exactly.
Yes, that was perfect.
That was for her, don't worry.
Okay.
Bring, bring, bring points.
One of the really memorable scenes that you had this season was the bar scene with JoJo Brown. How was doing that scene? Was that all written on the page? Was some of that improv? How was that working with JoJo?
It was great. It was a hot day. That was a hot day. I remember that's about. So we St. Patrick's Day in Boston. Everybody's wearing coats for the most part, but we're doing this in the middle of summer in Atlanta, and it is at least 90 degrees. So we get into the bar and we're hoping to get some kind of reprieve, and it's just not at all. No, it's still hot in there because they have to turn off all the AC so that the sound doesn't pick it up. But actually playing beer pong was really fun. And I mean, we had a whole thing with me riffing with the roommates. That was really fun as well. They were two fun guys. Yeah. It was really nice working with JoJo for sure. It was really nice, like, just riffing with her as well. So, yeah.
I guess sticking with the theme that we've been talking about with single drunk female, where, if we're lucky enough to get a season 2, which we're all crossing our fingers, hoping to read that any day now, where would you like to see your character go? Do you want to go a little bit like Sam did, where it's just starting that, you know, you're going to be able to get through this? Or do you want to see the continued idea of the downfall before we actually get back to possibly being with Sam? I mean, do you want it? Where do you see this character going if we do get?
Yeah. I definitely feel like it would be cool. And this is just from like playing him perspective. It would be cool to watch his downward spiral a little bit, and play more of like, not the fun loving drunk, but like just, this guy is going through something drunk, and really, really try to delve into, you know, his psyche and the psyche of somebody who is afraid of success, you know. And that's, you know, we hear about the fear of failure all of the time, but nobody, you know, really talks about the other side. I always think about like the double-edged sword of ambition, and how, you know, it could be your greatest weapon and also your downfall. I would love to see that angle. And I think that also like skipping past it is, you know, it's kind of unjust to the ending that was set up, you know. And I do think it's important to talk about, like, you know, Black men and their needs for therapy and all that stuff. And them truly getting to the bottom of issues, whether that be with therapy or not, or with actually opening up to family, that would also be, you right. know, so.
Because I think it was hinted out in that Thanksgiving episode that his family therapy is not a thing, you know?
For yeah. Him. Right. Oh, yeah. Therapy. They don't believe in therapy. My family doesn't believe in therapy either, but, yeah, it would be really nice to see him get to the bottom of that issue and have like those tough conversations with his family. and really just, and I'm not sure if he, I'm sure he did this already, actually. He did the amends already, but I would really love to see him and his relationship with his brother, having him console him during like his darkest time, and really getting rid of the rigidity that he has throughout the first season, and just trying to deal with it in a way that's more natural and healthy and not fear-based.
Yeah, or if it, you know, because I wonder if it would affect, you know, now, because, you know, before it was that whole thing, the job, like he couldn't have this job with this. Now he has this app thing. So, you know, how it would affect where he's going with that app too.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I would love to, you know, if he continues with the app, if he doesn't because of his drinking, or if he still is able to pull it off, and things keep on going well for him, so he has no reason to stop drinking until like maybe like Sam steps in or someone else steps in from Club 24/7.
So one of the things that was, and you just brought up Club 24/7, I was gonna ask, due to the fact that this show all was shot, you know, before it premiered, were the 24/7 scenes all done together in one big chunk, or was that something that you went back yeah. and did, you know, different points for each episode, or?
Yeah, so we didn't block shoot the episodes. We shot them in succession. So yeah, so we would, you know, whichever days had Club 24/7 episodes or Club 24/7 scenes in them, like whatever episode, we try to shoot them all in a day or like a couple of days or something like that. But as far as the entire season, doing it all at Club 24/7, no.
And I guess, speaking of that, how was that working with that group of people, especially like Rebecca Henderson, who played Olivia? I mean, how were those scenes and the chemistry? Because it seems on watching the show, you guys have been like, you know, working together for years. How was it working with that ensemble?
Yeah, I think that the greatest triumph of the show is the casting, for sure, because everybody just kind of clicked at the beginning. Like, I think Rebecca is one of the funniest people I've ever met, truly. So watching her work, like just from behind the scenes, was just like, you know, I felt like watching a masterclass of like timing and kind of like what I was mentioning before, instead of like here's the thing that I thought up that sounds funny, but just reading the lines in a certain timing and a certain tone of voice. And you can make that so much funnier and so much easier to work with in the edit bay than if, you know, I came up with a line off of the cuff and so on and so forth. Yeah. Everybody, you know, Lily and Sasha, I didn't have too much with them.
I mean, did get to see, I guess, Ally Sheedy. That's probably a big, I mean, I don't know if you were Breakfast Club, you know.
No, huge, huge Breakfast Club fan. So it was just.
Episode of the podcast?
I'm sorry?
Can we get an episode of
Breakfast Club is already too well known and too, like, you know, that's everybody knows that this is a good movie. Yeah. So we try to either do the ones that are new that everybody thinks is good.
Surprised. I was like, they did Pig. I had just watched it. So I was like, let me listen to this. And then it was like, yeah, we didn't realize this was a good movie.
Yeah, we thought it was a shitty movie. And then it was just fantastic. Because that got us, he tricked us. But yeah, Ally Sheedy is another one where, and of course, Sophia, was like just watching them work and watching them play with each other, I was like, oh, this is just such an education, you know, to just go through. It was fantastic. But yeah, we all like went to dinner every so often and hung out by the pool. It was nice. So I would love to go back for a season two, if not just to hang out with them again.
We're also jealous you got to hang out with the cat Josh. Yeah, like
Big Josh, he's so heavy and I love it. every time Madison picks him up, she's like, it's a lot of girth to deal with and to like get underneath, you know. You kind of have to, you have to scoop him and then keep on scooping him, and it's great. It's a good time.
I don't know, yeah, like if it seems like the on the show, when Sam looks up their Instagram, it has all these pictures of you holding these dogs. I noticed like on your Instagram you have a bunch of pictures of you holding dogs, like almost like a bit, I guess, like,
yeah,
what's up with this?
Yeah, so I wanted my this was during the time when Tinder was huge, and I thought it would be so funny if all of my Tinder profile pictures was just me holding different dogs in different places. And I thought that was a good bit. And
you're like, this is my uncle. This is my
and then I brought it over to Instagram saying it, and just like saying the
so different they, thing. Like, yeah. So how how did it come up that those would be used on Instagram? Did someone see like, oh, Garrick has all these pictures with dogs?
Yeah.
This would be great for him to be James to be a dog napper.
Yeah. So we talked about this in my first audition. That they're like, okay, what's this? It might have been my second audition it's my first one because it was with Leslie. Yeah, she was like, so before we even start, what's this whole dog thing? You're just holding dogs with like the straightest face, and it feels weird, but I like it. And I just explained what I just explained, and I guess that they wrote it into the show.
Like, that's pretty cool.
Felt good. Felt validating. I was like, I knew this was a good bit.
One of the things that we've spoken about when reviewing each week of the podcast, the episodes, in the season, in the finale, that you had the idea, you showing up late for the wedding, saying that you got into a car accident. From what you know, or from your thoughts on the character, do you think he was actually in a car accident, or was just an excuse for him to be late and something he thought about with the drinking? I mean,
I think he starts to lie. You saw him in episode 9 lying about where he was actually going, and then you saw it in this episode in the finale where he's lying again. And I feel like that's just a thing that alcoholics do to cover up their tracks. It's just they just make up like bold faced lies. It's just like, oh, that doesn't track, but okay, sure. And whether it was to, you know, cover up the smell of alcohol in his breath, or he wanted to get a drink before heading there, it's, you know, up in the air. But I don't think that was the truth at all.
Darn, because I had the perfect idea when we had Madison Shepherd on, saying the way we can get the two of you in scenes together was, you know, do the fact she's the only person who talks to people who are going through a rough time, you know, with the law, is you would be her latest person that you'd have to go see her like every week.
Yeah.
We can get some great, you know, scenes between the two of you. So let's cross the fingers that, you know.
That'd be really fun to have scenes with Madison, because, you know, I love her. She's great. I've known her for so long.
I hope if there's a season 2, like, can get her back on. Because, yeah, like, I mean, everybody on the show had these great standout moments. Like, you know, Lily's Felicia had funny lines. Like, everyone shined what they were doing. JoJo Brown, you, Madison, like the littlest people, Ian Gomez, Bob, like it just like, yeah, you know, it goes, the list goes on and on. I mean, I don't know if you know anything about with your stand-up comedy or anything that you want to talk about.
I mean, yeah, I think that stand-up is finally back, you know, after being on hiatus for 2 years. So I'm finally getting back into the swing of it, and not just doing like shows on weekends and just, you know, or like backyard shows or some Zoom shows. Oh my God, that was the worst. But finally getting back into like clubs and seeing people's beautiful faces that aren't, you know, masked heavily in the audience, and being unnerved by, you know, the signs of the pandemic in front of you. Because I mean when you do stand up, all you do is observe while you're on stage and be in the moment, and it's really tough to do that while everybody looks like, you know, they have a crow mask on their face or something like that. But yeah, it's really nice to be doing it again. So yeah, most of the time I'm like at the West Side Comedy Theater, all that stuff. So
So in doing some research for the interview, going on YouTube, saw a clip from, I guess, 3 years ago from your being on Comedy Central stand-up. How did that come about? And what was that experience being filmed while doing stand-up?
So, yeah, that's part of their, like, Comics to Watch or Comics Up Next, like, series. And I got it that year. And that was super fun. It was at their Clusterfest Festival in San Francisco. Super fun. You don't feel like you're being filmed at all, which is very nice. They definitely position the cameras like pretty far back, so you're not distracted by anything, and you're just going up and you're just doing your set. It's a pretty huge auditorium, so the weirdest thing was performing for that many people. I think that had been the first time I performed for more than like 200 people. So that was really nice.
So when it comes to comedy, would you like to be, get a comedy special? Would you like to be a regular on a TV comedy? Where do you see your comedy going in the next couple of years? Cause I mean, you do stuff with the podcast, you have a comedic but somewhat serious role on this show and with the writing, but where do you see the comedy going?
So I think that everybody, like, George Carlin said, every comic has one good special in them, even though he did, like, I don't know, like 10. But, you know, he's somebody who was well aware that he has his best one and then everything else, you know, follows. And I would love to do a one and done, but that doesn't happen a lot of the times. So just as many times as it takes to, like, really get that one that really feels special. And then everything else, I just feel like stand-up has been the base of everything that I do, where it's just like writing and performing. So splitting those two, performing for acting and then writing, just keeping that blood going as far as like staying on stage. I think that's just going to be my everyday thing, to keep my mind sharp at least.
Definitely have a lot of stuff going on. I don't know if anyone has any questions or been, you know, we've asked him a bunch of questions. So
it's fine.
I just have one or two.
All right.
Once I start talking, it just never stops. Or anybody else say a question. But getting back to the podcast, which, like I said, I've had a chance to listen to a couple of episodes since we knew the interview was happening. What does the podcast do for you? Like, when we do the podcast, gives us an outlet to go and just like be ourselves, just stop with whatever anybody else thinks, just having fun with friends for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
What does the podcast do? And see yourself doing more podcasts beyond this, or is this your podcast that you're doing and this just fills the void?
Yeah, I think that I have one more idea that I wanted to do with one of my buddies that I've grown up with, but I don't like really have an idea for it. I just think that he's really funny and I would love to like just talk to him in a podcast sense. But as far as what I love about doing Guilty Pleasures is that I just get to hang out with Zach and Kelsey for like an hour, or like get to watch a movie. And I really get my horizons broadened as far as film goes, because I definitely, you know, would love to expand that catalog, you know, of like things that I could reference and talk about. And I also think that it just builds your taste when you're watching a lot of these films and watching, and you're just like, oh, these are the things I do like and I don't like. So whenever I do sit down to write about anything, I know what I like, you know, and I know what the type of content I would like to put out into the world and how I would like to do it. And then it's also just a fun challenge to find things that you like in bad movies. You know, like, it's just really fun to, you know, not totally shit on somebody's work and just really, you know, hone down and zone in on what they were trying to accomplish.
I'm sure between the three of you, someone likes something. Like, obviously, even with the Spice World, like, I mean, People, some people said pleasure. It's just,
yeah. It's like cash grab if I've ever seen one. Anyway.
So episode 52 just came out. So that's the 1 year mark of doing the podcast. Is there a movie that either you've wanted to do or that you have in your mind coming up that you can tell us that maybe you really looking forward to, or something that they, your podcasters, mates, God, I don't even know what the right word for that is, like maybe shut down or think it's just too ridiculous, or is there like a dream one you want to do that?
Nothing's ever been really shut down. It's more of like a sense of, can we get to it? Because there will be times where we just come up with something out of the blue. Like, I mean, you guys are getting a little, you know, pre-treat, whatever. I don't know. A spoiler as it is. We're watching Morbius tonight, and then we're going to do that movie.
I just saw something that, like, Jared Leto was taking 45 minutes to walk to the bathroom every time because he was like in character, and then they finally like sped it up by getting him a wheelchair or something. Like, I was like, what is this movie
even? Yeah, he's a method actor, so he has to do, you know, the actual things that anyway.
Garrett does not want to burn any bridges if you ever has to work with Jared Leto. We'll
keep I don't want to do that. Oh God. Yeah, so we're doing that. I've always wanted to do Superstar with Molly Shannon. I remember watching that with my sister in between Spice World. And it was like one of our movies that we would just love. And it holds a special place in my heart as far as like my relationship with my sister and how we would bond over comedies. And this was the biggest one for sure. This one and Mean Girls.
Oh, what? Have you guys done Mean Girls yet? Or
No, we haven't done Mean Girls yet.
Come on. That's not, there's no guilt in that. Come on.
Yeah, it's just good. It's just good. Like, I think with Superstar, I think that it might not have, I hope it aged well. I haven't seen it in you know, 15 years, but I'm hoping that it still is good.
So now that we all know doing the comedy, the writing, and now you've got a little bit of the itch for the acting, is it a hard balance to go and do all three? And the second part of that is,
and answer Corey's questions as well as you're trying.
Nobody ever wants to do those. We appreciate you actually doing that. But with the uncertainty of knowing if there's going to be a season two, and we all cross our fingers that there will be, is it weird that you can't go out to try to, like, for other things, knowing that, you know, your number one priority would have to be this show?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. This is the first time I've ever dealt with this, but I've heard that this is just what the game is, where it's just like you're consistently in limbo. As far as if I could like make any type of example, as far as like writing or something like that goes, there's always another show that you can write for, even if your show gets canceled. I've had the pleasure of never being on a show that was canceled, but as far as if this does go or if it doesn't, you kind of just like stay in that space of like, if it doesn't, then there will be other things. And if it does, there will be other things. If it doesn't, you'll be fine.
I got to find Garrett's positivity. That's more positive. I think I've been in over 100 plus episodes of all the podcasts we've.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I think, you know, I think things tend to work out. It's just the need for instant gratification that's like grips the nation, that I feel like a little patience will go a long way.
Yeah, I think especially if you're putting all the work in, yeah. You know, with all these projects, like I said, yeah. Anyway, I mean, obviously your Instagram is Garrick Bernard, right? If people want to follow you, then they can probably see, you know, what's up next. Like you said, you write Star Trek Lower Decks, Solar Opposites, those shows. Cartoons, you know, but like, you know, so I don't know if the single drunk female people are into that. It's a little bit different.
God, I hope.
That I did watch some Solar Opposites, and it is pretty funny.
And whatever jokes you laughed at, even if it wasn't his, we're going to give full credit to Garrett.
I know. I'm watching it. I'm like, ooh, was that who wrote, like, Faster with Mountain Dew or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Very fun. It's obviously a collaborative effort, though, too. So very everyone's spinning off each other. Yeah, and obviously we talked about your Guilty Pleasures podcast enough that I think people should be interested to say, oh, let me go check this out, because it really is good. It really seems like you guys are having a good time, you can tell. And I kind of was like, I feel like, no, like, you know, it's like, you know, he's on a show, James, like, seems, you know, nice, whatever, but like the podcast is more you. And it's like, no, like, Garrick is cool. Like, I was like, no, I would like get along with him just based on you talking about movies. And you know, hopefully if you get that the comedy special, that would be a good thing. It would be good to see more of your comedy come up on YouTube and stuff like that. But really appreciate you sitting down with us, talking to us, answering Corey's questions.
All of our
questions.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry about the first mix up, but
any other thing you want to shout out or promote or anything?
No, that's pretty much it. Watch Sick and Drunk Fever on Hulu or Disney Plus if you're overseas.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed our chat with Garrick Bernard. We definitely did. Really great guy. Love to be able to speak to him. He's got, you know, so many things that obviously, you know, remember, check out his Instagram, Garrick Bernard, that, you know, feel like we've mentioned before, writes for Solar Opposites, Star Trek Lower Decks. I know Solar Opposites you can check out on Hulu, which is where you can check out, you know, Single Drunk Female if you want to do a rewatch or watch for the first time. If you were a Garrick fan and listened to his interview, go check out Single Drunk Female. You know, also his podcast, Guilty Pleasures. We talked a ton about that, but definitely a great time. Thanks to Corey and Jackie Rachel for joining me for this interview.
And, you know, don't forget to check out our Patreon and all the other great work that we do covering shows like Severance and The After Party. And, you know, some of our other stuff, including Squid Game. And our big hit, Yellow Jacket. So, you know, sure, check that out. And we want to thank Nina, who recently asked about the second part of our Yellow Jackets theater. And
everyone, I did put a thing on the Severance thing, even though you're not on the Severance. Oh. But I did tell Nina's getting lots of shout outs. Well, speaking of shout outs, the Patreon is Patreon.com/ you don't know Jackie. And shout out to our patrons: James L, Ronan J, John M, Cassie M, Marie N, Anastasia M, Amy R, Kelly O, Brenda G, Kate C, John J. Was a newer patron, obviously, since Corey's on Severance, hasn't heard that one.
We appreciate everyone who joins us at whichever level they decide. We appreciate, and we'll continue to try to put out more content with me here occasionally, especially with these great interviews that our producers, Jackie Endy and Brandon, have set up for us. So we do appreciate that. And as always, make sure to check out James. Wow, not James. That's a character he plays. Garrick on Hulu for catching up on Single Drunk Female. And continue to watch whatever he has in the future, because he is a shining star, not just on the writing end, but on the acting end.
Check out his beautiful teeth.
Thanks for listening.
Hope you enjoyed the epi. Bye.
Bye.
One day at a time.
Do we just act like Brandon's not here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brandon, who's that? I hear Brandon's got nice teeth.
I'll have to check him out. Well, he wears a mask. I haven't seen his teeth in a while.
We'd have to work on that.
We're going to only see his teeth. He's going to be a skeleton soon with the weight he's losing.
Crazy. As if we were part of a contest.